Welcome to Tech Talk Tuesday with Jonas Janssen van Rensburg. And I trust you're having a terrific Tuesday so far.
I am. Thank you and yourself.
Oh, very good. Thanks for joining us. You are coming in with something incredibly exciting to share. And it's also something I have absolutely zero understanding of. Quantum
computing.
That's
right.
I know you've spoken about it before in this feature.
We have.
You don't have to necessarily define it too much, but just a little quick.
No, exactly. If it's not something you're aware of, you know, it's difficult to wrap your head around because it does, you know, involve quantum physics, which I don't understand. Very few people in the world understand.
You look like you do.
Well, you know, the basics. I can pick up the basics. So yes, it works with the principles of quantum physics. Now, as you probably all know, a normal computer works with bits, so zeros and ones. So think of it as an on and off switch. Mm-hmm. So at any given time, in your computer's brain, your laptop, your phone, whatever the case is, that CPU or GPU has millions upon millions of these little transistors that are either on or off. And that's how computers work, and that's how we code them, and that's how we give them instructions. It's essentially to build instruction sets. Now, with a quantum computer, this came out about 20 odd years ago, where IBM and MIT and Google, they started to get interested in this idea because of this idea in quantum physics called superposition. Now, if you imagine a hydrogen atom that has one proton, one electron, and you've got the electron spinning around this one proton, superposition essentially just means in quantum physics that we have a very, very slim chance of ever knowing where exactly this electron is that is moving very quickly around the proton, because it can jump onto different positions around this
doesn't follow
proton.
A pattern.
Exactly, and that's why it's called superposition, because we don't know where this position is at any given time, and it's that concept which these scientists are trying to use to build quantum computers that use that same principle, in that how a computer has ones and zeros in these transistors, which are called bits. Quantum computers have qubits or quantum bits, which means you can have zero or one or any combination of zero and one in between, which means, in theory, that you can have way more calculations done at the same time with the same amount of hardware using this principle instead of having to have it switched on or off. So it is quite a complicated process, and that's why it's taken so long for these quantum computers to be really useful. And Microsoft have just announced that they think they've made a massive leap. The reason being, most quantum computers that are being tested at the moment make a lot of mistakes, because, as I said, they can be anywhere in the state between zero and one, these qubits. And we hadn't yet worked out how to nail exactly what that value is at any given time because of the superposition. So it gives us the ability to calculate a lot more, but we have to know exactly what we're calculating. And Microsoft said they've made a massive leap in, we can actually reduce the error rate of these qubits doing calculations to 1,000 to 10,000 times less errors in the same amount of time as all the other quantum computers that are being tested at the moment. So this is the first time we're heading toward a space where quantum computers can actually be used for practical applications if they can further reduce this error rate and we can 100% understand what these qubits are doing. It's a fascinating project.
Incredible. And how far off roughly do you think we are from this? Because, I mean, while you were talking, I Googled what a quantum computer looks like, and it's a monster, as we used to have computers being monsters back in the day, and now look at them.
Exactly. Yeah, so you're right. Current quantum computers are probably the size of a very large man, and most of them are kind of hung up from a roof at the moment because they've got all this wiring that all then have this processor linked right in the middle. And the reason it's still so big is because they have a lot of coolant in there. So these lots and lots of calculations with the qubits obviously accumulate in heat and energy, and we have to cool that down as close to absolute zero as we can to have these things work properly. So I would say this technology, even though we might have taken a massive leap now, and that'll be confirmed over the next several months, is probably still, you know, at least 5 years away from being used in massive supercomputers, in data farms, those kind of things. And for us people on the ground with electronic devices, that I would say probably still 20, 30 years away. But exactly like you said, those massive computers back in the 50s and 60s, they were supercomputers back then.
Yeah.
They were the size of rooms, right? And we just saw how quickly this got scaled down according to Moore's law, and how quickly we were able to shrink transistors. And hopefully the same will happen in quantum computing if this pans out to be as powerful as the scientists think it's going to be.
I love it. Jonas Janssen van Rensburg, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Fascinating conversation.